Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron. To keep you.
Nothing like a little Barry White there in the background. We just thought we'd play a little longer version. Oh, yeah. Doesn't he goes deeper. This isn't one of his deeper songs.
I met him once.
You met Barry White?
Yeah, I met him once very briefly.
Is
when
he
I
related
worked
to Doug White?
No. When I worked on Terra Place, he was playing for him. He did a sound check. He came up and said, hey, I'm a fan. I love what you do. He spoke to me, and I felt his voice.
Resonate.
I literally felt his voice in my body. It was amazing.
Well, we had, as sometimes happens in live radio, we had a guest just go MIA. Dr. Helen Fisher is currently stuck in the lab at the Kinsey Institute, I think. She's a biological anthropologist, a senior research... Why am I talking about her? I don't want to plug her if she's...
Yeah.
Skipped out on me.
Jerk fez.
So let's move on to our next segment, which actually is probably the more exciting segment. It's our Secret to Love segment. That's right, during Love Month.
Uh-huh.
You do creep me out when you get all
Sorry, do
that way.
Do a little higher?
No. Uh-huh. I'm going to be interviewing married couples who have been together 50-plus years, asking them what is their secret. And today's lovebirds are Jack and Shirley Curvin.
Curvin.
Oh, my goodness. How do you even pronounce? How do you spell it? I mean, who are you people? 50 years. Before we begin the interview, all of us in the room are just going to give you a standing ovation. 50
yeah,
years of
50
marriage.
Years.
Well done.
And who's in the room?
Well, Tim and I and a couple of interns. Tim and I and a couple of interns. Oh, by the way, Tim Miller.
He
likes
Hi,
you guys.
Tim.
Hi, Shirley. Yeah. Hello, Jack. Yeah, Shirley was like my church mom for the longest time.
Oh.
What t-shirt are you wearing, Tim?
You know me well. I'm just wearing a Rush tour concert thing today. It's kind
of
lame.
Of all the t-shirts Tim has, the one that says homophobia is so gay is my favorite one.
Yeah, probably one of mine too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Maybe I'll give that to Jack for his birthday.
I'll hook you up, girl.
All right. Are we finished talking to Tim? Because he's on the other side of the board, and I don't want to talk to him anymore. Okay, Jack, please tell me the way you proposed was awesome.
It was pathetic, actually, Drew. we were driving down a two-lane road going to Shirley's parents, and we were talking about a visit we'd had. Shirley is looking at me like this may not be how she remembers it. We had been to visit friends of ours who had got married not so long ago, and I said she was driving because she had a car and I didn't. And she had a job and I didn't. And I said, so we should do that, eh? She looked at me and said, what? And I said, we should get married.
We should do that, eh? Is how you proposed?
That's right.
It actually was.
Yeah. And she...
And I said, okay.
Oh, my
God. And then I said, since we're on your way to your parents, we should tell them. And she said, no, no, no.
Hold on, Jack. Were they not fans of yours?
I would say, you know, it's hard for me to know, but it was a different time.
Sort of yes and sort of no.
So I was Catholic. They were staunchly Presbyterian.
Okay.
I was more city, and they were rural. And I was a smoker and liked a beer, and they didn't do either. I didn't have a lot in common with them, except they were wonderful people. But they were, as you might expect, somewhat concerned.
Yes.
So yes. There we go. Yeah.
Yes. Well, for those of us who know the Curvins. What's that?
I said, so was I.
She was concerned, too.
Oh, stop it. No, not at all. For those of us who know this name, I mean, Shirley, how do people, because people probably know you and the Jesus scene more than your husband, right? I mean, you're the Christian bookstore lady. You're the church lady.
Well, I actually think I would disagree with that. Jack has a broader reputation, I would say, within the Christian community.
We don't want to talk about his reputation anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what was the name of this? What's the name of this?
Oh, you want safe ground?
Stop it! No. What is the name of this bookstore? What is it? Better Books?
Good Books.
Okay Books?
Good Books.
Good Books. Okay. Yeah.
Good Books.
I worked there for 2 years.
In Oakville on Kerr Street.
Right.
I was when you were down exactly. in the square, the center square in Oakville, that's when I worked there.
Okay.
That's right. Tim
yes.
worked there.
Tim worked there, yeah.
Yeah, let's not talk about Tim anymore. So what is the secret? I don't want to waste any more time waffling on with just little inside mm-hmm. jokes. I want to know mm-hmm. what the secret is, because dudes, 50 years, like 51 coming up, whenever it is. Like, how did you do
okay.
that? Okay, Shirley, go.
Well, I think part of it is, yes, it was an underwhelming proposal, but that was okay. You can't build a life on expecting peaks.
Yeah.
So we started out that way. And we built it from there, I guess you could say. One of the interesting things, we were both in university when we met, so there was lots of malleable opportunities ahead for us. We weren't set in stone yet. And it was interesting, after we moved to Oakville, and we'd been married at that point for about 12 years, and Jack and I took that Myers-Briggs personality test.
Oh, yeah.
When we'd been asked to be on the leadership team at the church where we were attending. And it turned out that Jack was over the top on the aggressive end of the scale.
Whoa.
And somehow I had slid down to the bottom of the passive side of the scale. And I know that's not how we started out.
So what happened?
We got engaged.
What happened?
Well, something that's fairly formative is the career that you end up in. And Jack was on Bay Street, and everything had to be decided quickly, decisively, and he became that person. And
why do I think this is not going
well? No, I just meant, no. And so it ended up going very well for both of us. But it was a bit of a shocker, because according to that, should not have been very happy with each other.
Yeah.
And so over time, we sort of readjusted that pattern of behavior, shall we say? And because that isn't a particularly healthy balance of personality. And in our marriage, probably at that point in time, it wasn't the greatest. But all I'm saying is, just because you're in a certain place at a certain time doesn't mean that that's where you're going to stay. So.
Okay, so how.
Excuse me, what was your question, Drew?
How do you stay together? How do you stay together?
So I think that it was an eye-opener for us. And so we started on me being more assertive and Jack perhaps being less so. And
now she's at the aggressive side and I'm down in the passive side.
And I'm really liking it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we joked about the lame proposal story, but it segued nicely into a real point that I actually want to talk about a little bit, because, you know, I'm the kind of guy that likes to make a big deal out of big days. And someone said to me, dude, when it comes to relationships, something similar to what you guys just said, it's not about the big days. You're training your partner to, number one, expect something around the big day and kind of then feel maybe weird, or there's pressure or expectation or whatever. And then the other part of it is, well, what about the rest of the year? And if your game is just always lifted on the big days and you don't have any game the other days, then you suck. And it really has a negative impact on your relationship. Any comment on that one, Jack?
Well, I
just heard Shirley say, it's true. Tell him
that's
that
right.
It's true.
That's right. Well, I think that's right. I mean, your original question was, you know, how do we stay together? I think what Shirley was saying is quite true, is that, you know, you get caught up in the day-to-day demands of life, and you find yourself, I'd say unconsciously drifting apart, because in my case, I was focused on building a business and doing the things that you do to make money.
Yeah.
And Shirley was at home raising kids. And, you know, there are two different worlds when you're coming home at 7 o'clock at night, virtually every night, and eating dinner, and kids are in. Go to bed, and you wake up in the morning, and you go off, and you repeat it endless times, and you find yourself living in two different worlds, in a sense. But a couple of things happened that, and I know I'm not answering your question about big days. I guess because I never thought about that before.
That's because you're not a big day guy, apparently.
Yeah, but I'm. You know, I
Shirley.
I am in
Shirley.
Some,
shh.
She said, but oh, he is. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I think, let me answer, if I can answer.
Please.
Your first question.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think I was not an atypical guy in the sense marriage for me was a commitment, but that was kind of a head and heart thing. It didn't mean I was actually going to spend a whole bunch of time an effort on making it work. Mm-hmm. And Shirley's the one that would draw us back to reality. I remember once driving from Hamilton to Toronto. My office was in Toronto, but we had an investment in Hamilton. I was noon hour. I'm zipping on the QEW past Oakville, and phone rings, and it's Shirley. And she says, we need to talk now.
Whoa.
So I said, okay. And I phoned my secretary. We had secretaries in those days. And I phoned and said, Angie, I won't be in for the rest of the afternoon. I went home. And Shirley pointed out to me that my schedule was such that I was not spending enough time at home with her or with the kids, building a family and doing all those things that a father should do. So I think I was getting A in the breadwinner category and a C minus in the father husband categories. But she had that ability, and she did it more than once, where she said, time out, this is not working, something has to change, which usually quite rightly meant I had to change. And it was true. Another time she gave me a book by a guy named Kevin Lehman, because mm-hmm. she had lots of books, you know, because she has a bookstore. And
we had lunch with them. Yeah,
you had lunch with him, yeah. And the book was Sex Begins in the Kitchen.
Whoa.
And what I better title than content. And and he said in the book, if you want your wife to appreciate you more, like you more, or whatever the word was, he said, spend 5 minutes. If she makes the dinner, spend 5 minutes cleaning up. Just get up from dinner and go and spend 5 minutes in the kitchen, and that makes a significant difference in in the sense that, you know, it's you doing something that doesn't take a lot of time, but shows that you understand that there's been effort put in and you need to be part of the cleanup sort of thing. And that was really, I still do that to this day, that, you know, when we eat, I usually end up cleaning up the kitchen and putting the dishes in the dishwasher and that kind of thing. But that was kind of important. And so she would give me these clues that you know, you've got to, if you want this thing to work, you have to spend more time on it. And I think that was really significant for me.
Wow, that was pretty good, man. You guys are pretty sharp. Jack and Shirley Kervin have been.
And I didn't say a word.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but we're gonna come to you in a second, Shirley. It's gonna be all about you in just a second. We are doing a fun little thing during the month of February here on our show. We're talking about the secret to love during Love Month. I am interviewing married couples who've been together for 50 plus years and asking them what is their secret. And each of the four couples interviewed this month will have their name drawn from a hat and could win a one-night stay in a fireplace suite with a king-size bed at MadisonManorBoutiqueHotel.com. That's where you want to go for that one. That also includes a $25 gift card for the Madison Avenue Pub, which should be tithed to the Drew Marshall Show. They might win a love basket. That could be the other thing they could win from Gideo.com with handcrafted dark chocolate and massaged love butter.
Oh, yeah.
You would just eat that, wouldn't you?
I did. When she was here. And she put it in her coffee, too. It was so good.
All right.
Delicious.
On the show right now is this couple we've been chatting about. Today's lovebirds, Jack and Shirley Kervin. What is that? What nationality is that, Jack?
That's English-Irish.
What?
Just put an O in front of it.
Oh, Kervin. Oh, I like that. Yeah. They've been married for 50 years, even though Jack proposed pathetically.
Yes, exactly.
When you celebrated 50, when that day was coming up and then the actual day, first of all, I want to know how you celebrated your 50th anniversary, and then I want to know how you felt about hitting 50. 50 anniversary. Yeah.
Okay. Drew, may I make a comment about us getting engaged first before I answer that question? Because
that's great.
Because there was a follow-up to that pathetic
attempt. Yes.
Attempt, yes. And 6 months later, Jack, as a university student, ran for city council in Windsor. That's where we were living at the time. And the night of the election, the elections were being held, we went out for dinner at the Top of the Flame, it was called, in Detroit, and he proposed to me again there.
Wow.
And that was really lovely.
Right.
And he gave me an engagement ring then, mm-hmm. which had paid for.
Thanks. That makes it all so much better.
Yeah, nice recovery, Shirley. That's good.
No, but it was lovely. Yeah. It was lovely. Now,
all right.
When we were married for 50 years, the actual date, it was just Jack and I. We had, I think we went out for dinner. But then we had a 50th anniversary party where we invited friends and friends and friends from through the years.
Yeah, but Drew didn't get it.
Yeah, I was right. Exactly.
we couldn't find your phone number, Drew. Uh-huh, sorry.
Yeah.
But now we have it.
It's okay. So, I was in Windsor.
But it was just a lovely party to have everyone together that had meant someone in our lives. Now, Tim and Pam, they chose not to come. But they were invited.
We were invited, yes. We couldn't make it, unfortunately.
Anyway, but that's how we celebrated, because for both Jack and I, our family and the friendships that we've made through the years are very important. They're incredibly important. Mm. They're our community, they're our support, they're all those good things. And we do like to celebrate. I think we... It's just so much fun, and you get so much happiness out of it when you celebrate the big moments of life. But you do have to take care of the in-between times.
Yeah, and that's the so far that's been a big theme with you guys, is the whole in-between stuff, you know? And I find that there's a correlation with relationship, like human relationship, like love relationship stuff, and the spiritual stuff as well. Because I am wired to be the guy who's all about the highs and the lows, and that has ruined my spiritual life because it's been hard to hang with the God of the in-betweens. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Because the times when you feel like if you do say a prayer, it hits the ceiling and bounces back at you, it's not easy to handle that.
Yeah.
And then that's reflected in your life, like beyond yourself. You're feeling crummy, and you kind of pass that on to the people around you.
Yes. It's amazing how we pass on crumminess.
It is. It is. That was one of my favorite words that I used when writing as an English lit major, crummy. It's very descriptive, isn't it?
It is. It is. And if you actually want to figure out why you're feeling crummy, you just need to follow the bread trail. See what I did there?
Yes.
Nice.
See what I did?
One of the things that has been really important, and this talks about the in-between times too, is that the person that you're married to, you have to become, I think, to be happy with them, a friend. You have to have a friendship as well as being in love with them.
Okay, you've just brought up something that you and I chatted earlier, and I want to circle back in this conversation. And I don't know how to do this without grossing people out, so here we go.
What's ever stopped you before?
I know. But
okay, I have my fingers in my ears.
Okay. So when it comes to, like, I've heard this, the best marriage is marriage where you're friends first. And then, I had this weird thinking in my head. It was like, to be friends with somebody, I don't want to be sexually turned on by a friend. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a weird brain chemical imbalance or something. Things like, no, you're a friend, right? There's a delineating point there. You're a friend. I don't think of you that way. Versus, whoa, hey, baby, how you doing? And so for you to say, the marriages that last are the ones that, you know, where your friends and everything is local. Oh, that's just a weird disconnect in my brain. So help me, Obi-Wan Shirley.
Or tell Jack what to say.
Yeah. Or tell Jack what to say.
what do you think, big fella?
Whoa.
I think you have to be turned on by each other initially, but then you also have to be able to create a friendship between you. A friendship is based on respect. It's based on common ground, and that develops over time, and you sometimes have to create that common ground. Mm-hmm. And like as Jack was mentioning earlier, you know, at one point in our lives, we didn't have a lot of common ground because, career and committees, et cetera, and interests that maybe one of us had didn't have a great overlap. Probably over the overlap was our children, but they're eventually going to grow up and move away anyway, hopefully. or not. Mm-hmm. That was just kidding because I love them. Mm-hmm. But
nice recovery.
You know, for Jack and I know one of the initial things that attracted me to him was
his money.
Neither of us had any. We both had kind of a desire to impact the world. I saw it in him. I knew it was in me. And that was that was appealing. You could say that was sexy. But for neither of us, that never disappeared. But what we had to do was figure out how to work together on that. Because again, because we're different, his was going to be worked out in a different arena than mine. And we've had to reach the... So we've worked on that, so we respect how we each impact the lives around us. And it is different, and sometimes it overlaps. Does that make sense?
Totally, yeah. Let me ask you this, and I just want to remind our listeners, you are listening to The Drew Marshall Show, and we are speaking to Jack and Shirley Caravan. They have been married for 50 years because during the love month on the Drew Marshall Show, we are chatting with couples who've been married for 50 plus years and, of course, asking them what their secret is. Jack, darkest time in your marriage. Was there a time where you were ever contemplating finishing it, putting a bullet in it? Getting divorced, getting separated, any time at all? Or has it been kumbaya from the get-go?
Well, I think it's closer to kumbaya than calling it quits. Part of that, I think, was we had the real advantage of growing up in an era when divorce didn't happen.
Right.
So I didn't know anybody in our street or in our family who had been divorced. And so, you know, I guess I didn't know it was an option from that point of view. And then, you know, I came to faith about a year after we were married.
Well, for our listeners who don't have a clue what you just said there.
Oh, okay. God became important.
Okay, yep.
It's really what I'm saying. About a year after we were married, and that, you know, through Shirley, who grown up in a home where God was very important and very, very present. And
My halo is pinching.
Yeah.
Did you hear her?
Yeah, I did. And So, you know, divorce in those days, you may remember there was something in the New Testament that said, don't get divorced except for adultery. So I kind of, you know, I bought into that. I had no experience of divorce. And for the first X years of our marriage, we didn't know people that were getting divorced.
Right.
And hard to imagine for someone who's under 30 probably, or even 40, but that was the case. So I didn't, that wasn't the, was never an option. And I think that's, so hang that out there. And Shirley just said she knew some friends who got divorced.
Yeah, but it was a time where it was, compare this scenario with this. You remember when we used to say, oh, no, I've got nothing against homosexuals. I even know one. You remember? Do you remember that?
Yep. Sure. Sure.
It's just a different time now. We're, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's kind of background on the divorce option, if you like. And I don't think that, I think I can honestly say I've never thought about ending this marriage. There have been times when you thought, oh, this is, you know, this is difficult, this is hard, that kind of stuff, when, you know, you go to bed angry with each other. But I'm also not the type that, like, I don't hold grudges and all that kind of stuff. So I've never had 2 weeks in a row or a week in a row where I was upset with Shirley.
Really?
I've had a day, but then my personality is to explode, and her personality is to confront issues and say, okay, what is the problem?
Right.
And I think, like, my limited sample of one, being me and our marriage, is that, you know, Shirley has kept it together much more so than I have. I mean, she's worked at it. The first 20 years, I don't remember working on my marriage. I was doing other stuff. But, you know, she has always worked on it because it's always been to her to create the family, and you know, it's to be a place where it's, you know, the house is full of love as far as she can make that happen. And I fortunately, you know, I married into that.
dude. You guys, there's about a 4-foot height difference between the two of you, but Jack, you married up, man.
I did. That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Shirley, being in the industry you've been in with the books and the Christian books and all the speaking and stuff, two things I want to say. One is, I remember Tony Campolo, I think he was the one that dropped this line, never considered divorce. Murder, but not divorce.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's good advice.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you was, with all the little bells and whistles out there that people sell to help people's marriages, what's the thing that has helped you guys the most? Was it love languages? Was it this guy you talked about earlier? I just forgot his name. I mean, was there a book? Was there a course? Was there a test?
Oh, the marriage enrichment course almost split us apart.
we did go on one of those marriage enrichment weekends.
And
one of the...
The very first day.
Yeah. Very first day. Okay, so we were given a pen and a piece of paper and said, now take a few minutes and write down things that you would like to your spouse, how you'd like your spouse to change.
To be different.
Yeah. Yeah. And Shirley, you...
So I'm sitting there with my pen and paper.
And Shirley, you ran out of ink and...
No. And I wrote down one thing.
Oh.
And I look at Jack. He's got a whole page full.
That almost did it right there.
Well, I'll tell you, that was not a happy night.
No. There was no big spoon, but, little spoon that night, let me tell you. It was four.
But, anyway. But you know, Jack was in the business of critiquing, and he does it well.
Wow.
But I think divorce never was an option for me either, because I did take that marriage vow very seriously, and I have always felt like I made it to God first and to Jack second. And if you have faith in God, if you have a belief in God, then that takes you a long, long way.
But there's no statistical difference, from what I understand, in the God couples getting divorced versus the normal couples getting divorced.
No, I'm only talking about myself here, Drew.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll shut up.
But I agree with you. That statistic is there. But for me, it was a promise made. It was a promise that I made to God. Mm. And maybe we forget that. I know that, just generally speaking, and we all know this, that in our society, it's a me first attitude, and it's take care of myself first, and hopefully as I become so wonderful, it will rub off on the people around me. But I think that you can't become so wonderful without considering the people around you and how your behavior is affecting them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's...
Do you guys still kiss?
Yes. Yes.
You're fun. You guys are fun. Well, look, I think this is...
He didn't ask us anything more about that.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not going anywhere near that one again. No. This is not a Cialis commercial. So here's the thing. It is inspirational. As I have shared with people that I'm interviewing, people, couples who've been married 50 plus years, their faces light up. They're like, oh, that's amazing. That's so good. I'm looking forward to hearing that. Do you realize, do you have any understanding of the kind of impact that you two are actually having on people just by being married 50 years? Not because of what you've done for work, Jack, not because you're a good book lady, not because you're church lady, not because you're Jesus, I don't know, whatever the thing, you've been together for 50 years and that is rocking people's worlds. Do you understand that?
I don't think I do. I don't, no.
Okay.
Speaking for me.
It always surprises me, the people's reaction when, oh, we've been married 50 years. 50 years? How do you do it? And how do we do it? Huh?
I don't know. That's what this show's about.
And I think the good thing is we still like each other.
Yeah.
And we still do have fun together. Yeah. And we, I don't know. We did start out liking a lot of the same things. Mm-hmm. Like reading and good movies. And when Jack came to get who God was, that definitely was the foundation right there. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Drew. The stats don't reflect that.
No.
Do they?
Well, let me just speak personally. Thank you. You have been an inspiration to me. The way you communicate your journey has been inspirational to me. There are very few couples. Why am I getting going? This is a tangent here. There are very few couples that I actually like both of them.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So.
Well, not me. I love everybody.
Oh, stop it.
Go to Good Books on Kerr Street in Oakville.
Oh, thank you.
No, but I think the inspiration is there because you guys are fun. You're genuine, and I love the authenticity that leaks out of you guys. At this age, lots of things are probably leaking out of you, but authenticity.
Yeah. Is,
that's scary.
So thank you for being willing to come on the show and share this. I mean, it really is, yeah, it's been a great, great experience to have you guys on the show sharing this stuff. And
thanks, Drew. It was good. Fun to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wish you the best.
Thank you.
I do. I actually do wish you the best, and I can't wait to get invited over to your next party. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you'll be there.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Bye, guys. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye now.
Jack and Shirley Kirvin. So fun. They are fun.
I love those guys. For years. Shirley was, like I said, she's like my church mom. She was the only reason I stayed at Chartwell. Because when I first went there, like, you know, I had my ponytail, my cowboy boots, my jeans, like, no one else. Yeah, yeah, it's many, many years ago.
Just go through that one more time, Tim.
No, people don't need to hear it again. They might be eating. She was the only person in that church that went up and said, hello, glad to see you here. Huh. And she's the reason I stayed.
I'm not sure I would have said anything to you either, looking like that.
And then there was also the bolo tie, but I didn't want to mention
that.
Oh,
no way.
It was the 90s, man. Come on.
Worst decade ever.
For fashion, for sure. Well, 80s and 90s.
80s was worser, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.